Yo, what's good, guys, and welcome back to the Football Daily Podcast. As you can tell by the title, we're doing something a little bit different. If you haven't seen on the main FD channel, I did a documentary on the rise of South London footballers, including Joe Gomez and Hudson Odoi, and we just took out bits of their interviews. But we thought, you know what, Football Daily Podcast, we might as well give you the uncut versions. And you know what, I think it's a great idea. If you haven't watched the documentary, go head over and watch it after you watch this video. And yeah, let me know what you think. And if you think that the video is not going to be that great, then check the trailer.
I 100,000% believe South London producing the best footballers. All my friends know this. It's not East London, it's not West London, it's not North London, it's South London.
If you could describe South London footballers with three words, what would it be?
Talented.
Flair.
Desire.
This is South London.
The Rise of a South London Baller by Football Daily.
As an aspiring footballer growing up in South London, how was it? Like, how was the experience?
No, I think growing up in South London is like, for me, it was like a massive feeling. Like, obviously, I've been there all my life. It's a place where, as I say, it's unique, it's different.
Yeah.
It's not like any other place. I think everybody in the community is just so together. Everybody just likes to be in around each other. And it's a nice community. I think everybody just wants the best for each other. It doesn't matter who's coming through or who's doing what. I think everybody wants the best for each other. And it's a nice feeling to know that a lot of people are coming out of South London and doing well for themselves and becoming, making a name for themselves. So it's good.
So in terms of, like, obviously there's cage football. Like, I know that, like, a dominant thing in South London is like playing on the streets with your friends. The most skillful person is probably the most rated. Like, in terms of going from that to the Premier League, how much of a leap is that?
Oh, definitely. I think taking like stuff from the street football and cage football into the Premier League is something where you take your skills and your confidence from there and bring it into the Premier League as well and try and do it in every opportunity that you get. I think when you're playing on the streets and you're playing in the cages, you want to express yourself and be confident in what you're doing and to show your talent and show that, oh, okay, I've got more than you, I can do better than you, or I can do more skills than you. It's not just about skills, it's about just the overall play of your work rate and what you're doing around other players. And I think doing that in the cages, it brings yourself to be confident and say, you know what, I do this here, I'll bring it to training. I'll do it in training, I'll do it in the matches. So you want to be confident and have the belief in yourself that if I can do it wherever, if I can do it off the pitch and do it when I'm on training and I'm doing it, I don't know, near the cages or cages, on the street, I can do it in the Premier League as well. So you have the same confidence and belief you can do it anywhere.
So would you say, like, as a player, like, I think that's a common factor as well from players that are from South London. Like, when they're on the pitch, you can kind of see they've got that little bit of edge. Like, they're a bit more excited taking on the player and they're more confident in themselves. Is that, like, a key attribute that you think?
Yeah, I think for most South London players, I think everybody just wants to be confident in themselves and they want to be, like, if I'm on the pitch, I have no fear of who's against me or who I'm playing against. I just want to be myself and be free. And you got to have that belief in yourself that, okay, cool, I'm going to go play against you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how old you are, how experienced you are.
Yeah.
I've got the belief in myself that I can take you on every time. I've got the belief that I got enough skill to go past you or got enough skill to go to the goal, score a goal, assist a goal. You just have the belief in yourself that you can do it. You're free. You have the raw talent and you have the raw, like, physicality. Okay, I can do this. I feel like I can beat a player with ease, with skill, with speed. And the more and more you build yourself and think to yourself, all right, I'm doing it everywhere else I go. Why can't I do it on the pitch? You just got to be confident in yourself and take it then. I think that's what most of the players are doing now. I think most South London players are just being confident in themselves, having no fear, and playing with freedom.
That's what I was going to say. Like, what do you think it is that actually, like, sets South Londoners apart? Because obviously, like, there are ballers from North and West and East, but with South London, I can't lie, obviously, I'm from South London as well, so I feel like we've got a little bit of an edge. But, like, what do you think it is? Would you say it's the fact that when you do play on the streets, sometimes if you're not up to a certain standard, they will let you know that you're not up to that standard and you have to kind of, like, work at it to come back to the next day, come to the cage and be like, yeah, this is the skill that I learned, type thing?
Nah, South London is definitely a place where you get told
if you're not a baller,
you're not this, they tell you straight, they'll be like, all right, nah, you're not cutting it for me, I can't lie, like, you're not what we think you are. And it's like, you have that sometimes when you hear stuff like that, it's like a motivation that I want to come back and prove you a lot wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're on the pitch as well, even in the Premier League or wherever you're playing, it's like if you play a bad game or you play wrong or you do something wrong, you want to come back and say, okay, I want to prove you a lot right. I'm doing is correct, or what I'm doing, I'm confident in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So when you're in the cages and you do something and you do a skill and you miss the skill and then somebody else does it, everyone starts laughing and it makes a scene, and then it's like, I can't do that again for someone to laugh or to tell me, oh, you're not good at what you're doing or you're not good at your skills, da da da. So for me, it's like when people say that to me, it's like a motivational thing. It's like you telling me I'm not doing well and I'm not playing well makes me more motivated to go back and prove you lot that, well, what you're saying is incorrect, because I know I'm playing well, I'm going to play well,
and
I'm going to do well, just to prove you lot wrong. And that's why every time you go in the cages, you want to show your skill, show your ability, work harder than everybody else and do what you need to do that's necessary. So wherever you go, you just have to believe that, oh, doesn't matter who you're, whatever you're telling me, you can tell me as many times as you want. I've got that confidence and like fear factor that I'll never
gonna do it regardless.
Because I know that I'm confident I can do it. So that's the feeling that I feel as well.
So in terms of, like, obviously there's players like yourself, Loftus-Cheek, there's Reece Nelson, Sancho, Nketiah, the list goes on. Like, in terms of actually transferring those skills from the street to the Premier League, do you reckon it's easy? Like, do you think that it was an easy thing for you to, like, say, okay, cool, I've taken on a few people here, and when I go to the Premier League, I'm going to do the exact same thing? Or is it one of those things where the coaches actually say, I don't think you can, can do this?
I think that when you go onto the pitch, game by game, every game is different. So you go on the pitch and you feel to yourself, like, no matter what, you're confident. Like, you sometimes I say to myself, I don't like playing with pressure or any fear in my head. I just play myself like how I normally play in training or in the game. I play myself and be confident. And I think I say to myself, like, look, you go on the pitch, you're playing against 11 players. It's 11 for you and 11 for them.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're playing higher up in the pitch. You've got a couple of players to get past. You're not playing against the whole 11. So for me, I'm always confident of whoever I'm playing against. I look at them and I say to myself, I've got the beating of you from the start. Yeah, and I always have that mentality of, I know I'm going to get past you. And sometimes you might not get past them. Like, sometimes you might have a game where you don't get past them at all.
That must be hard, though.
Of course, there's times where you think to yourself, oh, it's frustrating. And there's games where you think, wow, you're not doing what you normally do or you're not playing well. But it's always a learning curve every game that you have. You want to just keep building on what you're doing. And you go back and think to yourself, all right, I didn't get past you this time. We'll play against each other again.
And next
time I play against you, I'm going to get past you. And I'll think about stuff and analyse what I did wrong to try and get past you the next time. So it's always about, I think, learning and having the, as I said, the confidence just to do what you're doing and being free.
So in terms of South London now as a whole, obviously, like the players that I named earlier, what do you think can be done to kind of create and like influence the next generation? Because there's been closures with goals, there's been closures in the free pitches that we grew up playing in for free. Like, what do you think could be done to help the next generation?
I think the way we could help next generation would probably be to keep doing what we're doing on the pitch as well, for them to look up to and to be like, oh, all these boys came from South London, they did it, so why can't we do it? And have the belief and the confidence of, we're looking up to the players, obviously the players like us now who are playing, like me, Jaden, as you said, Eddie, everyone like that, whoever's playing, it's like you look up to them and then you're thinking, all right, I could do it as well. Like, if they've done it and they've got up from South London all the way up to there and they're playing the Premiership, Bundesliga, La Liga, wherever they're playing, I can do the same thing as well. And for me, I say to myself, like, to everybody, whoever, like, even people that are older than me or whoever younger than me, I always say the same thing, that you've always got to have the hard work and desire to believe and belief that you're going to do it. And for me, it's like, if you're not confident, you don't believe in yourself, there's no way you're going to do anything, regardless if it's football or whatever. You just got to be confident in everything you do. And for me, it's like, I'll tell the same generation, the young generation coming up, that just play with no fear, be free, show all your tricks, but at the same time, work hard and have the desire to do it as well, and you'll do it. So.
Also, like, South London is like, we're kind of a tight group in a sense, like when you're playing football and stuff like that. Do you still stay in contact with, like, Sancho and Nelson when you see them doing well, when you see them doing bad? Like, how is that relationship?
No, I've got a good relationship with everyone. I think everyone in South London, we always want everyone, as I said, everyone to do well. Of course, so we're all tight. We all know, like, we've all grew up, not even grew up in the same area, but we've all grew up in South London and we all come from the same like a bit. Background, so it's like, yeah, background. So we're like, okay, if you're in another country, it doesn't matter where you are, we're still going to keep in contact. We're going to make sure that you're doing well. Like, for instance, like Jaden, when he's in Germany, he's doing well. We always have a chat, text him or call him, being like, you're doing well, do this, do that. He texts us the same way, saying, dude, you're doing well, do this, do that. So it's like, we've all got a bond with each other to know that it doesn't matter where you go or how old you are, it doesn't matter. We still got the same relationship because we all want everybody in the same community to do well.
Yeah.
And for us, it's like, it's a great feeling to know that everyone from South is doing well. We always want to keep striving and hopefully more for more success. But at the same time, you just got to keep working hard. And as I said, hopefully everyone does well from South as well.
Yeah. So when you were growing up, obviously there must have been multiple things that were distractions, things that could have sidetracked you. If there was someone that was looking at you right now and they're like, okay, cool, I'm trying to aspire to be a footballer, but I've got distractions, I have a gangs, girls, yeah, multiple course, things. Like, what would you tell them?
I'll tell them straight away to get away from that. Try and get away from your life as quick as possible. And I wouldn't say it as in the term of like, you're going to, something's wrong going to happen from it or something bad can happen from it, but it's just not the right path to go on. And like, if you want to be a footballer and you want to be somebody who everybody looks up to and everybody thinks, okay, I want to be like him one day, or I want to do this one day.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a person that's got a reputation of, oh, I was in a gang, or I was doing this on the street, or I was doing that. You want to be a person that people look up to again and be like, oh, this guy had a good background. Like, he's been all the way good. He's done well on the street. He's been doing his football in the cage. He's been doing his thing. Like, everyone's looking up to you thinking, raw, I could be like him as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the same way you look up to us, the same way the younger ones from you will look up to you as well. And it's like, you've got to always set an example to anybody what you're doing, and you've got to make sure that you just get off the streets, like, just make sure that you're playing football. It doesn't, obviously, I'm not saying play football, but do whatever you're doing, but just don't make sure that you're doing stuff that gives you a bad reputation or gives you a bad name for no reason. You can prevent stuff like that. So for me, my advice would be like, just to stay off it and just make sure you're working on anything that you want to achieve in life.
Do you think a key part of that is also like more openings of free pitches and things like that, where we can, where players like young'uns can actually go on and just play for free and have fun with their friends rather than having to pay, you know, extreme prices.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think the more open pitches there are, I think the more it leads to people being off the streets as well. I think in this world, everybody loves football. I think to myself that everybody loves football.
Yeah.
Even if you say you don't and you don't watch it,
you do slightly.
You know what it's about. So I think the more pitches there are, the more people will go onto the pitches and they'll use them playing football. And I think football sometimes, sometimes in cage football for me was like, if I was stressed in school, I would take it out. Or if I was stressed doing something, I would take it out in the cage and just be free and just clear my head through that. And for other kids, it could be the same way. So like, if you're stressed in, you had a bad day at school, you had a bad day with someone, like parents or whatever it is, you can go to the pitch and open, it's just open.
Express
you
yourself.
Do what you want, play with your other people there, express, be free. And you want that sort of feeling that I don't have to go there and pay £100 or £50 just to play like for a couple of hours. I want to just go to a pitch when I know it's open, I can just walk in and play my football and be happy and be free. So I think there should be more open pitches for everyone just to go and just be themselves and be free.
Perfect, man.
Thank you, bro.
I appreciate it, man.
Always best, man. Bless. Thank you.
So how was it growing up in South London as an aspiring footballer?
Yeah, it was good. It was definitely an experience. I don't know if it's just South London, but it feels like the culture there, it's really intense when it comes to football. Anyone and everyone played all the time. I know in other schools, like, some schools had more focus on rugby or athletics or so on. But for me, going to Forest Hill Boys, like, every break time, every lunch time, it was football.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, it carried over because your friends were into the same sort of thing. Like, after school, whatever, it would be like, go down to, for us, it was pits or goals or whatever, and just carry on playing. And that was just all we knew, just play football. And before school, we'd go in a sports hall.
Yeah.
That was just the culture. And yeah, I think because of it built us in different ways, just to be competitive, to be driven, and yeah, just enjoy ourselves.
So obviously for you, your dream came kind of early. You joined Charm quite young, and then you played for the under 18s when you was 13. How a lot of South London players say that cage football kind of molded them in that sense. How would you say that experience was for you?
Yeah, definitely. I do think it was a contributing factor, just because, I don't know, that worry or fear of playing with older boys, or like you kind of put your reputation on the line when you go to Power League, and there's a standard to obtain, because like it's competitive, and like people call you out, and so stepping from that environment where I found it just as competitive as playing for Charlton, it was like I'm kind of used to this, and apart from the fact there's more space on the pitch, and yeah, that's probably the biggest step in terms of the competitive nature, playing with older, bigger boys. But I had that exposure sort of already.
Mm. So how important would you say cage football is to like players just in general, especially from South London anyway?
No, it's massive. I don't know what it is. It's like when you're in a concise pitch, it just feels like there's more ego in a small space.
Yeah, it gets like, physical.
Yeah, it's just
a lot
more,
of pride on the line.
Yeah, and it's a lot more personal. There's more reaction. If you're playing like a round robin sort of thing, people are on the side of the pitch watching. You have the audience, and it's intense. And yeah, that competitive nature is hard to replicate with 11v11 or whatever. And It definitely had an impact, I think, on us as a collective in South London.
Mm. So obviously you've gone to playing Premier League, Champions League. Mm-hmm. How would you say, like, obviously just growing up in general is so different, because like you said, when you're playing, it's raw, there's a lot of pride on the line. Is that kind of similar when you're playing in European football?
Yeah, in a way. But I think it's just about honing it, because it is a different I wouldn't say skill set, but I think that physicality and so on sometimes in small cages is so intense and compact. Like the ball can bounce off the side, you put your body, like 11v11 is a bit different.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I think it's just trying to draw what you can from that and using it in the right way, as well as adding other aspects of the game, just positionally. You're not really going to be out of position in a cage or in a small area. So then when you play at a high level and you're that few yards too deep or too wide and there's a gap, and like players at elite level will just penetrate, and that's probably the biggest thing I'd say, like just having to stay switched on off the ball, because in the cage you come alive when you get the ball and you're always trying to find space to get the ball, but just playing at Linv11 at elite standard, it's like all the time you have to stay switched on. I think that's the biggest difference, I'd say.
So in terms of, like, obviously you started so early on in your career, you was kind of in organised football from young. What's the best piece of advice you got coming from kind of unorganised, flary pride from football into, okay, you're not allowed to do that trick now?
Yeah. I mean, for me it was different, because obviously being a centre-back, it was sort of an outlet playing in a cage. Mm. Like, people don't expect you to do a step over and so on. Like, so that was kind of like freedom for me, that I can just do what I want, express myself. Sometimes I'll walk back. I won't be as positionally focused or whatever. And so that was just enjoyment for me. And I don't know, I didn't find it hard separating from that, because like once I went, like say I was playing at Charlton, I knew I couldn't mess around like that. But I didn't find it difficult. I think since then, getting older, it's just staying switched on, like I say, sort of playing the game within the game, sometimes in 11v11 or a proper game. So for me as a centre-half, I can get caught just ball-watching or watching the game, and then like there's a counter-attack and I'm not aware that the striker's on my shoulder sort of thing. And if I don't stay switched on the whole time, then you can get punished. So that was something I had to switch between, like in the cage, just walking about, having fun with my friends, to then stay focused, because you've got to be positionally in the right place sort of thing.
Would you say that it is harder for people to come from that background where you kind of have that freedom, and then coming into organised football where you're kind of not told what to do, but told where to be, told where to play kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd say that switch is harder than going from like having structure, playing like nine-a-side when you're whatever age, and moving up through the ages of like a structured sort of team, rather than like coming, like joining academy football late. Because like, I have so many friends that have so much ability and
serious ballers,
yeah, like and ballers and yeah. players that like in tight spaces, like their feet are unbelievable, and you just come in late and sometimes you don't get the right opportunities, or some coaches like a certain style of play that they want you to press well or work hard, and that side of the game hinders the fact that you're such a good like technical player.
Yeah, yeah.
So I see it so much because I have so many friends that are sort of like that, but I don't know, I still don't think you should take away from what it can do for you. Mm. But I would say it is harder going from playing in that environment like Pits and Goals and Power League for us and then switching.
Yeah.
So I was lucky in a sense that I got the opportunity to do it at Charlton and play, progress through the age groups there from young rather than joining late.
Mm. So if you were to give someone like that was at your stage, age 10, they're playing with their friends, they're used to that type of environment, but they obviously want to make it like you. What type of advice would you give them?
I would say, like, study the game as well as enjoying. I would say, like, relish those times playing with your friends and do it up to as late as possible. Like, go all the way through until, like, your manager at your club or whatever saying, like, you can't be balancing playing on a Saturday or Sunday as well as... and training through the week as well as going pits or whatever.
But
I'd say keep that involved, but like if you're younger coming up, just study the game, like watch like the tactical aspects of your position and how, like for me as a centre back, like watch YouTube clips and like, oh, he covers around there or there, they need to push up. Or just, I'd say that's the biggest side, just the tactical elements. Or if you have a coach or whatever, just ask him, like, how can I improve in positionally? And because I feel like the stuff on the ball is taken care of because you get that exposure at Power League or whatever. And that's the biggest thing, I think. Because obviously, if you're in the wrong place positionally, at least the errors, then coaches start
getting onto you.
Yeah, and then you don't get the chances.
Yeah. So obviously, you grew up playing in pits, maybe Burgess Park, goals, like free pitches all around different areas.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there needs to be more of those free pitches for younger people to, you know, hone in their skills and play with their friends rather than, you know, getting sidetracked by other
100%. Like for me in my local area, pits was massive. Like I can't like get across enough how big it was for us. And at the time it was a case of, it was only £1, I think it was. Like each person had to play £1 or you pay for the whole cage as a group, put your money together. But like, honestly, every half term, summer holiday, it was just our go-to. And we'd play, like, through the day. Might go to the off-license and get a drink, come back. And just carry on playing and, like, get home and just chill. And it was, like, all our spare time was just used playing football. It was exercise and staying fit. But that was because it was £1. Mm. All I had to do was ask my mum for £1 and go. Whereas when it gets a bit more...
expensive.
Yeah, expensive and like you have to call up and make the booking, and as young kids you're not really in a position to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I feel as though if there was facilities, like obviously space is a problem in London, but places that are already set up and established that open their doors and said, listen, like the young kids can come and play, like even if it was from a certain age up, where I know like some there are like evening sessions and stuff where adults come, but this period of the day, young kids of this age, when we know you're prone to maybe getting up to mischief or doing other things, you can come for free and play. And I think it'd be massive, not just for grassroots and football, but just a general
activity for people to do.
Yeah, because we love playing football and take away the hassle or the worry of like the price and stuff, and everyone would do it. So yeah, if there were more facilities, I think it'd be massive.
Mm. So, moving to England now. Obviously, you're one of the best centre-backs for England right now. Probably you should be starting at the Euros. But there's also other South London originals in the mix. There's Jadon Sancho, there's Hudson-Odoi, there's Loftus-Cheek. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be a part of that core that is basically making the England squad South London?
Yeah, it's obviously a nice feeling. It's a bit surreal when you think about it. For us, like, We're just young boys who grew up playing football, and like to have so many of us that come from a similar walk of life, in a sense that we grew up in the same era, doing the same sort of things, it is surreal. Because I think for all of us, that we don't take for granted the percentages of the chances that it happens, and the chance to play at that level. Obviously, you dream of as a kid, but the pathway seems so difficult, and it's special. Like, I know, like Ruben, we were born in the same hospital, sort of thing.
Oh, really?
And right. Yeah, he was born in Lewisham Hospital, so was I. And it's surreal, honestly. Like, it's something that we can't take for granted, because it's something to enjoy.
You say you guys have like a different type of connection to any other. Because I see sometimes when I'm watching the England videos, like the way you guys say cool to each other and the other players.
Yeah, I think naturally it breaks the gap between our. You sort of know each other before you know each other.
Yeah,
you have something to that you have in common, and you can conversate over. So yeah, it is nice, and I know there's a lot of conversation about it, I think, amongst the group, and it's special and something that we should enjoy and embrace and use it to our advantage, because chemistry is a big thing, and if you can feel as though you're a team and you have the same goal, it can help everyone.
So growing up, what was the best piece of advice you were given? Obviously, because you started your career kind of early in Charlton at age of 10, I believe it is. So,
it's hard to pinpoint one line or one focal thing, but I think it was just honing in on my development as an academy player and making that switch. I think. Like my manager at the time, Steve Avery, who was a thought of Charlton, would always reference that things I needed to work on, and I still had that rawness that most like players do who come from not having an established team and come from, say, playing at Power League like I did. And I think it was just working on the little things and just positionally, like I say. Just being more aware and more switched on with those sort of things. The other side of the game, instead of just thinking, oh, like gravitating, like if you watch it young, like under 19, everyone just runs towards the ball. But like it was just about being more, especially as a centre back, being more disciplined and just trying to give information and help my teammates. I think that as a centre back, the more information you can give can sometimes take away from your work. So.
Yeah,
just generally just trying to be more tactical and being more aware of my surroundings.
So was you the type of player that just went out on a limb and just started watching the videos yourself, or was someone else saying, no, you should watch a Rio or you should watch someone else?
No, like for me, Rio was a big one. I don't know, probably because he was from South East London.
To relate to him a bit more.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but just I think at the time, like, English centre half that was a ball playing centre half was something I aspired to be, and he was that person at the time playing at the top level. So, yeah, YouTube, whatever I could watch, I'd watch him, and yeah, that was from a young age. I'd do that, and yeah, I'd say that's a big thing, just to watch it, who you aspire to be, watch it and watch them and how they play, and just focus on that. And if you can, and go to a live game. No, just watch them rather than watching a game or the crowd or whatever. Watch them and really focus on what they do and how they conduct themselves on the pitch.
So, well, this will probably be the final question, but what do you think would be the best thing to continue the production line for South London?
I just think, like I said, just more opportunity to let like young kids play and express themselves. I know personally for me in my era, that I've said it so many times, like Pitts, what that reference to is Power League, now is under different ownership, and the opportunity to go and just play isn't there anymore. And I just feel as though that's taken away from the percentage of young kids that want to play football and express themselves, not even just for the sake of producing more talent and so on, but just for general kids enjoyment and health and safety.
Yeah.
Because it's common sense, if you're doing something else, you have no time to do maybe the other things that are statistically rising at the minute in Southeast. And yeah, it'd be nice. Obviously, it's easier said than done, but if there were more facilities to let like young kids like I was and many of us were just enjoy themselves and play football without stress or worry of a facility to do so, sort of thing.
Thank you so much, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Love that. Thank you for watching the uncut versions of the interviews with Joe Gomez and Callum Hudson-Odoi. If you haven't watched the documentary, head over to FD and check the whole thing out. And let me know what you think in the comments. And let me know if you think we should go and do another area, if we should interview other players, because, you know, we're trying to switch it up a little bit, do some stuff that are a bit different. And yeah, get in the comments. I'll see you guys later. Peace.